Good morning and welcome. Today is the Lord's Day. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Good morning. Good to see everybody, particularly since this is my second Sunday with you and so many of you came back from the first one. I think that's an affirmation, so thank you for that. I appreciate it. We have a number of announcements here in the bulletin. If the rain doesn't preclude it, I think we're supposed to have fellowship on the lawn today. Cookies and drinks. We'll see whether the weather supports that. We also have on Saturday the morning circle meeting. We have a reminder here to set our clocks back 1 hour, which I always forget. So that's always a good thing to remember. And next Sunday, November the 3rd, I will be back with you. And in addition, we're going to have a special lunch program, good time for fellowship, and a youth, child, children, and parents meeting for planning. So a lot of good things coming up in the week ahead. I was asked again a question about my wife, whether she was going to be here this Sunday, and she did go to the choir director at the church, and the choir director said, not mincing any words, and Charles, you might appreciate this, she said to my wife, "You belong to me. You can have December the 1st off because we have a different music program." And my wife said, "Well, he's not going to be a Cook's on December the 1st. That's your day." So that's sort of how it goes. Yes. Anyway, she sends her regards and would very much like to be here and wanted me to send to you her best wishes. One other thing, I've had several questions about whether I'm retired or not. As of August 17th, of 2019, I'm an honorably retired PCUSA pastor. I belong to the Salem Presbytery. Every pastor doesn't belong to a church. They belong to a presbytery. And my presbytery is Salem, which is right across Lake Norman, heading up north into that area. So it's good to be with you. Retirement's a great thing, but pastors are never retired, really, nor are Christians ever retired. So I've been preaching three Sundays a month and doing volunteer work for pastoral care at different churches, and I expect to do that until I take my last breath on this earth. So, good to be with you. So, we will begin with our focus on the reliance on God, and Casey is going to do our psalm. Oh, I'm sorry, announcement, I forgot, yes. Casey, you're on hold.
I may be overlooked, but I won't be forgotten. Just remember that. So I'm up here to talk about the marketplace that we're going to be starting here at Cook's. It is going to be November 23rd. We're already started some of the things. William Seville has cut out several pieces that the women are going to move forward on. Jim Smith has cut us out several trays. Once I find one, ladies, I'm telling you right now, one's already mine. And there's several wooden rings. Del Lucky's cut out several pieces that the women will move forward on, and some really great snowmen. I know we have ornaments coming. I know we have glassworks coming. I know we have metalworks coming. I know that there are knitted works coming. We want everyone to participate. If you know somebody that makes ornaments, they make jewelry, they make baskets, something that you want to contribute, get that aunt, get that daughter-in-law, get that child of yours that hasn't done anything you feel like in some time for you. Get them to make it. Get them to donate it. We also this year are going to have tables. So if you have friends that want to come in and get a table, we have a small fee this year because we're just not sure how it's going to work. We just hope it's going to work great for $35. So if you do something, you want to come get a table that you want to set up, that's great. If you have a tremendous day and you want to donate a little bit back, that's great. All proceeds go to the building fund. The building fund has a lot of connotations to it. Originally, the building fund was to build new buildings. Now the building fund is to keep up what we have because they're fabulous, they belong to the Lord, and they're for us to use, so we have to keep them up. That's paint, that's ceiling, that's carpet, that's windows, that's heating and air, that's electricity for us to provide for our community the word's Lord, Lord's word. So, on the 23rd of November, it's going to be a combination, 8:30 to 2-ish. We're not sure if we got a crowd. I'm not going to shut the doors. I want everybody to participate. The men are helping. The women are helping. We want the children to participate. It's for our church. It'll be a yearly fundraiser, we hope, that grows each year and we'll let everybody's help. If you have any questions, everybody knows where to find Jeannie on Sunday. And you know, on Wednesday night, she's here also, and she's in the directory. I'm in the directory. Amy's in the directory. Terry, I tagged you. People know Terry. People know Connie. If you can't find us, call Cheryl. Cheryl knows everything. Appreciate your help, and keep us in mind. And any questions, please help us. We want it all. We need you all. Thank you.
Thank you.
I have one announcement as well for all the youth. Just a reminder, we're meeting after the church over by the bus. We're going over to Freddy's and then for lunch and then to the Siffords to see all their Halloween decorations.
And I have one as well. Laundry ministry did laundry again. And the grandmama come, and grandmama is so, so appreciative. We spent $28.50 on her laundry. And so please keep your quarters and change and any other thing funneling into this. It's being used as wisely as we can.
Yeah, any other announcements? Casey, I think you're on.
Good morning. I hope everybody's having a wonderful Sunday. Today's psalm will be on 121, 5 through 8 in your pew Bible. And it's on page 612. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life.
The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore.
This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thank you.
of us are in need of forgiveness. All of us are expected by Jesus Christ to come to him for forgiveness. And he makes provision for that in his gospel, in his life, and in his death and resurrection. So we have before us this prayer of confession, and let us all admit that if we cannot admit that we sin, then the truth is not in us. Join me in the prayer of confession. Turn us away from evil thoughts and deeds, O God of light and salvation. Put down in us falsehood and boasting, jealousy and selfish ambition. We confess that we want and take for granted your blessings and gifts, while there are times we ignore your scriptures that call us to dedicated service. We aspire to be recognized and honored and to be first, even when you counsel us to accept more humble roles. Grant us childlike trust and peaceable goals as we seek to embody your purpose for our lives. Guide us to embrace your will as revealed in the gospel of your Son, the Christ. Let us render unto the Lord now our silent prayer of confession. O Lord our God, through Jesus Christ, hear this, my personal prayer of confession. Grant it, we pray, in his holy name. Amen. By water and by the Spirit, by our baptism in Jesus Christ, he adopts us into his family and claims us for all time as his own. Hear the good news, hear the truth of the gospel, that in Jesus Christ our Lord, you are forgiven. Alleluia. Amen. So we now affirm our faith in God through the Apostles' Creed, which for 2,000 years has been the universal way in which Christians declare their belief in God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Christians, what do you believe? I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let us now share shalom, the peace of God, the peace of Jesus Christ, one unto another.
Thank you.
Please be seated.
Today our scripture comes from Isaiah 40, 28 through 31, which can be found on page 715 of your pew Bible. In today's scripture, God is speaking through Isaiah the prophet to the people of Judea to prepare them for their captivity in Babylon. Many have fallen away from God and they're being carted off to Babylon, but there's still a remnant that's been faithful to God, and they need the comfort and assurance that this scripture today gives them. Do you know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, John. I believe it's time now for our young people's message for our young Christians.
Good morning.
Folks, I don't know why I need to do a sermon now. I mean, that was, but I will, but that was well done. Thank you. I have two New Testament readings this morning, both short, but both impacting what God would have us hear this morning. The first is from 1 Corinthians 9, verses 24 to 27, followed by Hebrews 12, 1 through 3. Hear the word of the Lord. Do you not know that in a race, all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I do not run like a man running aimlessly. I do not fight like a man beating the air. No, I beat my body and make it my slave, so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. And then we go to Hebrews 12, 1 through 3. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Several years ago, my wife and I decided we would take a trip up to the mountains to Cherokee and visit the Great Smoky Mountain National Park. And if any of you have been there, it's a magnificent place to go. I particularly wanted to learn more about the Cherokee Nation, about their tradition, their history, their values, and we dug into that for about 3 or 4 days while we were up there. They believe they have an oral tradition of a history of 10,000 years in the Carolinas and Tennessee. Those mountains are sacred to them, and they're still there, as you know, today. So we dug into their culture, we dug into their values, and their tradition of passing on certain lessons learned, certain values from one generation to another that they believe have stood the test of time. And we read about this wonderful tradition in the Museum of the Cherokee and a little story I want to share with you. I want you for just a minute to visualize that you're not in Charlotte, North Carolina. You're actually up in the mountains in the Great Smokies. And as you look around, you're sitting on a mountaintop, and as you're looking around, all you see is a series of mountain after mountain after mountain, pure and pristine. You see lush valleys. You see clear water streams. And you look around and you think, this is paradise on earth. Also think of yourself as a young Cherokee teenager. And you're sitting on top of this mountain across from your grandfather with a fire, campfire, separating you. And your grandfather looks at you and says, my son, there is a battle between two wolves inside all of us. One is good, one is evil. The evil one is anger, jealousy, and greed. Resentment and inferiority, lies, and ego. This wolf lives a self-centered life. The other wolf leads a good life. It is joy, peace, and hope. Humility, kindness, empathy, and truth. The good wolf lives a life of compassion and love. So the boy thinks about it for a moment, and he leans over and says to his grandfather, grandfather, which one wins? And his grandfather replies, the one you feed. The Apostle Paul, I believe, this morning in his letter speaks to the same wisdom of 2,000 years ago that applies today. And basically, he's saying to run the good race, we've got to live committed to the way of Christ, and we've got to turn away from anger, jealousy, greed, resentment, inferiority, lives, and ego that are the ways of this world. These are the ways of society, the ways of out there. But to run the good race, he's saying, we live in Christ, fed by his gospel, and experience his joy and peace, love and hope, his humility, his kindness, his empathy, his truth. And when we do, we are true children of God. When we fill our heart and mind with the love and goodness revealed in his word and will, then we're living the kind of life God wants for you and for me. So in this reading, the Apostle Paul, he was a very keen follower of sports, as you can tell from his letters. Matter of fact, he'd be watching the World Series every evening at 8 o'clock because he enjoyed sports that much. I don't know which team he'd want to win, but he would be watching for sure. And what he's doing in his letters is saying, think of yourself as an athlete for Christ. Think of yourself running a good race as a soldier. He also was a keen observer of the Roman army and their elite military force. Think of yourself running the good race. Think of yourself preparing for battle. And he encourages us to be prepared to achieve the victory, to run that good race. And in his time, every city in the Roman Empire had an arena, and every city enjoyed going to the games, and every city would lift up those who won the race with an olive wreath around their head, but also erecting a statue to them by the arena. And winners became near cult figures for the people of that particular city. So regardless of the obstacles, regardless of the hardship, regardless of all the distractions facing us, Paul teaches we're to teach and live running the good race in Christ, because the crown we want to win isn't something that goes bad and withers away. We want the eternal crown of being by his side in glory. Now, Paul's a realist, and he knows from his own life that living this life is a very tough life to live. And in Colossians 3:23, he writes, whatever your task, put yourself to it, as serving the Lord, not as if you're serving men. So that living this life is hard work, folks. It means rolling up our sleeves and getting out there and sharing the gospel message of Christ with our friends and neighbors and strangers that we may encounter. And he says, you know, if you're going to follow Jesus, you got to give up all this stuff that we learn out here in society and in the world, all this stuff that slows us down from living the Christian life, all this stuff that says that temptation and sin and living a way contrary to the gospel is okay. We've got to give all of that up. Why? Because if we don't, it endangers our relationship with God. To run the good race, we commit ourselves to removing anything that slows us down. So the racing metaphor, I think, speaks to any of us who enjoy sports, but particularly for those who may have participated. Believe it or not, as a young man, which is really more years ago than I can even comprehend, in high school and college, I lettered in cross country and track. I was a long distance runner. Wasn't particularly fast, but I could run a long way. And what I found out was, in order to finish the race well, not necessarily to win, but just to put in a good race, it meant months and months of training every day, running in all kinds of weather, running over terrain that was nearly impassable to get in condition to do a good job. And when you do this, it makes you appreciate that struggle and hardship and a little bit of pain is actually the price, sometimes, of victory. Well, Paul says we're to take the same approach in serving Jesus, and that we do not grow weary or lose heart. It's so easy to get tired in the church. It's so easy because it seems that fewer people rather than more people are doing the work. And the fewer that are doing the work are always doing the work, while others seem to find other things to do. So basically in Isaiah, which Johnny read so well, God is reminding us that he doesn't grow faint or weary. He fulfills his obligations and commitments, and he expects us to do the same to him. He expects us to serve. So his message, I think, of Paul to you this morning is at Cook's Church, don't give up on your journey in Christ as a family of faith. Persevere, continue to move forward, continue to do the work that's needed to fulfill it. So as athletes for Christ, Paul says, become spiritually ready by putting off every weight and sin which so easily clings. And you know, when we accommodate ourselves to the ways of society, which Jesus warned us against, it makes it very difficult then to run that race that Jesus would have us run. The object of our race isn't necessarily for us individually to win. It's to win for Jesus with people who do not know him. And right now, there are more people in Mecklenburg County who do not go to church, who do not go to Jesus, than do. It's a tremendous turnaround from the time of my youth. So what we're to do, as we heard in the children's message, is get ready, equip ourselves by prayer, Bible study, but more importantly, applying what we read in the Bible about what we're supposed to do. We cross the finish line for Christ, not for ourselves. Our goal is to live in Jesus by our thoughts, our words, our deeds, and bring others to him as their Lord and Savior. You know, when we live the Christian life, it's evident to everybody around us. And last time I toured the Billy Graham Library, which if you haven't done that recently, I'd recommend you do it again. You can't go there enough times, in my opinion. But I was there not too long ago, and I was reading a sermon that Dr. Graham gave, and I think he's probably one of the best preachers I've ever heard in my lifetime. But he preached a sermon about nailing your colors to the mast. Nailing our colors to the mast. And it's an old naval idea that in the Navy, you would run a flag up the mainmast of your ship that proclaimed to the whole world, this is who I am. This is what I stand for. You can count on me to do what I have committed to do to my country and to my family and to my acquaintances and others. So nailing our colors to the mast. And Dr. Graham was basically saying, as a Christian, we have colors. We have the cross, which is our flag. It declares who we are, what we believe, what we stand for to the whole world. So individually, I'm going to ask you, what are your colors as a Christian? Who are you committed to be? And how does your behavior represent Jesus within the church and to a world where many do not know him? Our true colors are shown in our relationship with God, with the church, with each other, with family, friends, and those who we don't know. Now, personally, I think of my colors in living the Christian life as a life song. It is our individual and congregational declaration of how we faithfully serve, praise, and glorify God in response to his grace and love. Life song. That's a wonderful Christian music, praise music. Now, I like the old hymns, as you know, because we've been singing them now for the second time I've been here. But there's also some wonderful Christian praise music. And Life Song is one of those for me. And here is one of the refrains from Life Song. Lord, I give my life a living sacrifice to reach a world in need, to be your hands and feet. So may the words I say and the things I do make my life song sing, bring a smile to you. We follow Jesus by our life song of service to God and to one another. What is your life song? How does your life song serve those in this community? Do you think your life song brings a smile to Jesus Christ our Lord? In Ecclesiastes 3, Solomon tells us, for everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven. Folks, this is your season. This is your time at Cook's Church to show your colors, to live your life song, to run the good race in Christ. Your race at Cook's Church, I believe, is a race of transition and change. You know the old refrain that is insanity is thinking you're going to get a different result by doing the same thing? Change and renewal is necessary to grow any church, to have a future in any church. So churches that do not evangelize, and I mean get out here and share the gospel message one-on-one and one-to-groups of Jesus Christ and his redemption and salvation. And if we're not out there with community groups offering ways in which we can support the needs of the community, and there are so many out here, they stun the imagination. But if we're not evangelizing or implementing community-based, needs-based ministries and programs, then we could be in serious trouble. Amen. Churches that slowly wither and die are what I call monastic churches, a monastery. These four walls are our playing field, and that's not what Jesus teaches us. So while the word and will of God is eternal, the way we worship, the music we sing, our programs and ministries need to reach out to people out there. And there's a younger generation out there that need help. They need new direction. They need something other than the media culture and the culture of hatred and anger that now divides this country. Where are they going to get that if they don't get it from us? So if we do not step up our game and roll up our sleeves to a new race, then Cook's Church may not make it to the finish line. Now every member needs to be in the game and run a good race with faith, commitment, and obedience. I'm here to preach to you, but I'm not here to preach too hard with you, because it's not an easy journey, is it? But your church journey to the future is really about faith commitment. Folks, nowhere in the Bible do I read that there's an age restriction of either being too young or too old to serve the Lord. There is no mandatory retirement in Scripture for pastors, any Christian, any of us at any time. There's always something we can do to serve the Lord regardless of our physical or medical limitations. There's always something we can do. And churches that wait for a large number of people to pour through those doors to populate our church are almost always sadly disappointed. Jesus never waited for people to come to him. What did Jesus do? He went out to the people, always. And that, my friends, is our purpose from him as well. So the prophet Isaiah assures us that God gives us strength, if we put our faith in him, to soar like eagles. Persevere together, faithfully and with courage, to do the work of the Lord. Be committed to doing your part. Run the good race, living and serving Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. We now go to our prayers of the people and the Lord's Prayer. We have a number of individuals on the back of the bulletin who need our prayers. I would also say that reaching out to these folks with a card, with a call, means so much that their church family is still connected with them. Particularly, we want to remember all those who are homebound, all those who are ill, those who are awaiting hospital visits, and all those on the soldiers list who protect us as well as our emergency responders. So let us go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we have so many individuals on this prayer list that need to feel your comfort, need to feel your love supporting them, your Holy Spirit surrounding them. And Lord, we can do our part to show that Spirit by reaching out to these individuals with a card, with a call, with a visit, with a kind word. It will mean so much, for then they will see you. They will see your image in us as we do that. We ask, Lord, that you be with those who are near death, those who are grieving the passing of one most dearly loved. It's so hard, but we know that one day we will be in a joyful reunion, the ultimate homecoming, when we join you and our loved ones in heaven for all time. And for that we give thanks, and for that we look forward to that time. We ask that in our society and in the church that we walk away from anger, confrontation, condemnation, and judgment, that we try to be a unified people in unity and harmony around the gospel of your Son, the Christ. We ask that you help our elected leaders remember that they don't belong to a political party first. Their loyalty is not to politics. Their loyalty is to serve the people as God has endeavored that they should serve, and that they become true servants rather than politicians. And we ask, Lord, that all who serve our country in the past and serve it today in the armed forces have our honor and our love because they truly stand between us and evil, as do our emergency responders in this community, particularly police and firefighters and others, thin blue line that protects us every day, for which we should be grateful. And now, Lord, we render unto you the prayer that your Son taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. You know, the Lord has blessed each of us in so many ways, by giving us gifts of talent and skill, by giving us a good family, good friends, Cook's Church. I think sometimes we take all of that for granted, but let us not on this day take the Lord for granted and remember that what he gives us to share and use for the good of all. And let us do our part, sharing our time and talents with the church and giving of our financial resources to continue our ministries.
Oh,
us pray. O Lord, our God, we rededicate ourselves to serving and loving you by serving and loving one another and our neighbor. We submit to you through this church our financial contributions with joyful hearts. We renew our efforts through our time and our labor to serve the needy that you commend to us, the poor, the widow, the orphan, and the stranger. We give thanks that you are always faithful in fulfilling your covenant promises. Enable us to truly meet our obligations to you as our gift of gratitude, love, and faithful obedience unto you. In Christ's name, amen. Please bring your 10 cents a meal offering as we sing this hymn. Well, folks, we all have a race to run. We have a life song to sing and live. We have a race that is set before us by Jesus Christ our Lord. So run the good race. Live your life song. Share the good news with those you encounter this week. And bring someone back with you next Sunday who needs to hear the word along with us. And now, as you leave this place, may you go forth knowing that you are blessed by God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, who shall be with you now and forevermore. Amen.